Broadcast sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor Eli Shelton Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal, and walk according to man? For while one said, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, or are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us one more time to preach thy precious word to this waiting radio audience. And our desire is that thy name may be glorified, and each heart and soul who listens may be edified, and that thy word will go home in power and in much assurance by thy Spirit, that you will write it upon the tables of our heart and in our mind, and that we will walk after thee, for it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen. We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. My friend, we give thanks unto our living God for all of the open doors he has given us to get out his truth in these days And one of them is through this radio ministry, and we just bow at the feet of our Lord and give Him praise and give Him thanks for entrusting us with such a ministry. We do want you to pray for us and write us if we can help you. Have you written for your free book that we're giving away this month entitled Profiting from the Word by Arthur W. Pink? It is a series of chapters, 10 chapters, on the Scriptures dealing with sin, with God, with Christ, prayer, good works, obedience, the world, the promises, joy, and love. And I want you to have a copy of this book. It will bless your soul as you read it there with an open Bible, asking God to let you, by His Spirit, profit from the Word of God, making you according to His will. Now, this little book is yours, free and postpaid, if you will write for it. Ask for it by name, Profiting from the Word. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. Dear friends, as you know, we've been studying together for many weeks now the subject of the true gospel of Christ versus the false gospel of carnal Christianity and its fruits, looking into many aspects of the true and the false, especially the false which is so widely preached and practiced today. In our last message, we began to look at 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4, which we read for our Bible reading today, which forms the sole basis of this false teaching of carnal Christianity, that there are two types of Christians in the world today, one carnal and one spiritual. In opening up these verses to you last time, we showed that the Apostle Paul was dealing with the error that these people were caught in, and that is glorying in men. Either in Paul or Apollos or Peter, as he tells us in 1 Corinthians 1, 12, verses, chapter 3, verse 4, and chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. This glorying in men, and this error in which they had been caught, had caused envy and strife and division among them. In these verses he said that he could not speak to them as mature, full-grown Christians, but as babes in Christ, for they had acted in this error as fleshly or carnal men and women. This was not the bent and the trend of their lives, for if it had been, they would not have been Christians at all. So he dealt with them as ones who had committed an act of sin, and not as one who had made sin the bent or the trend of their lives. Now, as I showed to you last week, we must take these verses, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4, in the context in which they are set. And my friend, they are set in the context of that second chapter, verses 9 through 16, which tell us that only as spiritual men could they understand spiritual things. For the Holy Spirit only reveals the things of God, which are spiritually discerned, to those who have been born again of the Spirit of God, those who have been regenerated and have spiritual life, those who possess the nature of God, the new heart of God, and the mind of Christ. So those spoken of in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4, were spiritual men, women, if indeed they were children of God, for God Himself had done something for them and in them, to give them the life of God in Christ, and to fill them with His Spirit. That's what He tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. Because you see, the natural man, verse 14, cannot understand or discern spiritual things, for they are spiritually discerned. Neither can he know them, because they can only be revealed unto him by the Spirit of God, or otherwise they're just foolishness unto them. And neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Then, if you remember, we moved on in our study to Romans chapter 8. verses 5 through 9 and showed you that here we find the greater light upon this subject of those who walk after the flesh and those who walk after the Spirit. Here in Romans chapter 8, we have the contrast between the carnal or fleshly man who is said to mind the things of the flesh. Verse 5, he is shown to be in a state of spiritual death because he is still carnally minded and he minds the things of the flesh, according to verse 6. And then in verse 7 of Romans 8, he is in a state of enmity against God. That is, he's in a state of active rebellion against God and is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be, because he is in a state of spiritual death. Then the apostle goes on to show us in verse 8 that the man whose bent and trend of life is after the flesh, that is, he is carnally minded, fleshly minded, that man cannot please God, and therefore is repugnant to God, and abides under his just wrath and eternal punishment, unless sovereign grace enters and changes him into a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Apostle Paul goes on in verse 9 and makes a statement that no man can get around. In fact, there is no argument that you can bring against it. Or there is nothing else that you can make it mean other than what it says. And this is the statement that he gives to us in verse 9. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Why? Because if indeed a man has been born again, that is, regenerated by the Spirit of God, then he is a spiritual man. He is indwelt by the Holy Spirit and walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, the course of his life is changed. The bent of his life is changed. For now he has the very life of God dwelling in him. And he could not walk after the Spirit if he did not have the Spirit in him. And if he has the Spirit in him, then he is not a carnal man or a fleshly man, but a spiritual man, for he minds the things of the Spirit of God. And this is the clear teaching of these verses of Scripture. Listen now. I say, because the Word of God says that Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27 is true of this spiritual man, and because this is true of this spiritual man, then he will mind the things of the Spirit and walk after the Spirit. Listen to Ezekiel 36. God says that in salvation, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. So you see, dear friend, this is something that God does for us and not we ourselves. So it is a powerful work that God does, a specific work. It is called in Scripture a work of grace, therefore a work that will last till the last day, last on into eternity. And it is a work that will cause us to desire to walk in the Spirit and seek after godliness and righteousness and true holiness. In other words, it is a work of grace from start to finish, and gives God the glory as He causes us, because He's given us that new heart and a new spirit, to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, everyone whom God saves and regenerates by His grace is a man in whom He has put a new heart and a new nature. And because that new heart and that new nature is there, then God causes that man to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now let us read together again Romans 8, 5 through 9, and see how this new man, this spiritual man, is described as compared with the fleshly or carnal man, which we looked at last week. Listen to God's Word. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, spiritual death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Listen now. Let me repeat it again so it will be written upon our hearts and minds. The Apostle Paul is not contrasting here two types of Christians, one carnal or fleshly, and one spiritual. But he is contrasting the man or the woman or the young person who professes to be saved and who is walking as the bent of their lives in the flesh and after the flesh. Therefore, they show that they are unsaved, unregenerate, dead in trespasses and sins. I say he is contrasting that type of individual, an individual who is not saved, over against the spiritual man, the born again one, the one who is born again by the Spirit of God, and who is walking after the Spirit as all of God's children do, as the bent of their lives. Again, let me say, this is the clear teaching of Romans chapter 8, practically all the way through, especially in these verses that we've been on in verses 5 through 9. Now, let us zero in on one statement made in verse 6 of Romans 8 and see why the true child of God walks in the Spirit and minds the things of the Spirit. Listen to what this one statement says. It says, to be spiritually minded is life. Watch it now. To be spiritually minded is life. To me, this is the key to the whole Christian life and why the man who has been born again, that is regenerated by the Spirit of God, walks in the Spirit and minds the things of the Spirit and no longer walks after the course of this world, after the prince of the power of the air, that is walking in the flesh. You see, the Scripture says he has life, the very life of God working in him, for to be spiritually minded is life. And this is exactly what our Lord said in John 10:28. He says, I give unto them eternal life. And in verse 10, I am come that they might have life, this eternal life, this spiritual life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And my friend, this life, as I said, is the very life of God, dwelling in the children of God by the Holy Spirit. For this life is given to each person who is born again and saved by the Spirit of God through grace it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, having the life of God in them, then there are certain things that is said of them and about them in this eighth chapter that is not said of the unregenerate, the unsaved, the children of the devil, the children of wrath. I don't care how much they are religious, how many professions they have made, how many times they have rededicated their lives, or what kind of experiences they have had. These things are said only of the children of God who have become children of God by the regenerating power of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to listen. For when this happens to an individual, he becomes a spiritual man, and he knows these things. Listen now. In verse 1 of Romans 8, they are said to no longer be under condemnation because they have passed from death into life. For Christ has utterly wiped out the damning evidences of broken laws and commandments which have always hung over their heads, and took them and nailed them to its cross, thereby removing the guilt and penalty of their sins from before the holy and righteous God by cleansing them by faith in his shed blood and providing for them a perfect robe of righteousness wherein they stand before God perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 2 of Romans 8 it says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made this spiritual man free from the law of sin and death. So he has now been made free from the consequences of sin, which is eternal death and hell, and has become, by the grace of God, a servant to God, whose fruit is now unto holiness, and whose end is everlasting life, according to Romans 6:22. Again in verse 4, we read that this spiritual man is one in whom the righteousness of the law is fulfilled, because he is in Christ, and now he is enabled to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. In other words, he is one who, like David, delights himself in the law of God, that is, in the Word of God, and whose bent of life is to please God and walk in His commandments, bringing forth fruit unto holiness. Then verse 5 tells us that he is a man who minds the things of the Spirit. In other words, his mind is set on the things of God, for these are the things that delight him most. So he seeks after them in the Word of God, in the fellowship of the saints, in the public worship of God with the people of God, and in his private life of communion with God. Are you listening? This is truth, brother. This is the Word of God. As we move on to verse 6, we read that he is a man who possesses the very spiritual life of God and who is at peace with God because of his union with Christ and the state of justification in which he now dwells. You see, he is no longer in a state of spiritual death, hating God, but he delights in God and cries that the Holy Spirit will work in him the fullness of God in progressive sanctification in this life. And he prays that God will increase his faith so that he may please God in all things. For he knows that the just shall live by faith and not by sight. And the only way that he can please God is to trust him and to walk in the life of faith. Then as we move on to verses 12 and 13, we find that this spiritual man knows that he is not a debtor to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if he lives after the flesh, he knows he will die, and the life of God is not in him. But he desires by the Holy Spirit to mortify the deeds of the body, that is, the deeds of the fleshly nature, so he will live unto God and please his true and living God because he's in Christ. Then he understands from verses 14 and 15 that since he is now a child of God and a spiritual man, that the greatest evidence he has to his soul that this is true about him, he acknowledges that he is led by the Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they and they only are the sons of God. And he knows also that he has received the Spirit of adoption, whereby he cries, "Ever, Father." And he knows that God is his Father. This is real to him, because the Spirit has witnessed with his Spirit that he is a child of God, a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ, an heir of God, and a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he knows the inward working of the Holy Spirit, whereby he has received the first fruits of his inheritance. So according to verse 23, he groans within himself, waiting for the adoption, and that is the redemption of his body as set forth in verse 23. The redemption of his body, and to get a new body, like unto the body of his glorious Lord. And then we move on. He knows by experience that he lives in hope, according to verses 24 and 25. In the hope of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change his vile body of humiliation and fashion it like unto his glorious body, giving him a new body, taking him to be with him where he is forever, in a place of rest and holiness where there will be no more sin. And then he understands from verse 28 that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And not only that, but he knows by the teaching of the Holy Spirit within, from the Word of God, that God foreknew him in eternity, that he was included in God's plan of predestination to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And having predestinated him, God also called him by his Spirit and justified him in Christ. And he knows by faith that at the last day he will also be glorified in the Lord Jesus Christ forever and forever. Also, he knows that Satan, the world, and the flesh And even himself can lay nothing to his account before God, because it was the triune God himself who justified him and counted him righteous in Christ. And being one of God's elect, no charge can ever and will ever be brought against him in heaven. And since he knows Christ and Christ is his, he knows that Christ will not condemn him, because he reads in verses 33 and 34 that it's Christ who died for him, that was slain for him, who is at the right hand of God there as his representative. And there Christ ever lives to make intercession for him until he gets into glory. And my dear friend, he finds that the seal of the whole transaction of this love and this grace in Christ for his soul is at verses 35 through 39 of Romans 8 teaches that there is absolutely nothing that can separate him from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, his Lord. And this makes him praise the Lord. My friend, it is because all of this which the triune God has worked in him by the Holy Spirit, which was provided for him in the blood and righteousness of Christ, that he is a spiritual man, a man indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and therefore he minds the things of the Spirit. Also, he desires to walk in this pathway of righteousness and true holiness. He hates any other way and desires to show forth the praises of him who's called him out of darkness into his marvelous light, into his unchanging grace. And my friend, this is the bent and the trend of his life. And he can say with the Apostle Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And my friend, the man who still minds the things of the flesh, who walks after the flesh and calls himself a carnal Christian, knows nothing of these things that makes the children of God spiritual men, because they can only be spiritual discerned by those whom God the Holy Spirit has regenerated. And so the question is this. Do you and I walk after the flesh or after the Spirit? You see, there is no middle ground of carnal Christianity, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's God's message for this hour, and I want you to have a copy of it. If you'd write us, we'd be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.